and then COVID showed up and things have shifted a little bit. But man, super glad to be here tonight. For those of you that don't know me, my name's Cody, one of the pastors here at Timber Creek. My wife and my two kiddos, we've just celebrated our 2-year anniversary being at Timber Creek last month. And I mean this, like, we are so grateful to be a part of this church and just seeing what God is doing in this church and in this city. So thankful to be a part of the team and to be under Pastor Jeremy, his leadership. He's an incredible man. If you only know him from the stage, I get the unique opportunity to get to serve week in and week out with him, and he's the real deal. He loves this church and he loves this city, and we're grateful to have him as a pastor. And but tonight, man, I'm super excited. Week 10, you guys have been trucking through. Week 10, you got 2 more weeks left. And tonight, we're going to be talking about gifts of the Holy Spirit. How many of you like gifts? You like gifts? Just a couple people? Well, I love gifts. And this month, guys, I turned 30. Yeah, 30. Can you believe it? Some of you guys are like, geez, give me a break. 30 years old, okay? And a lot has changed since I was 20. When COVID struck, our team, I remember coming together, I think it was like early April, we came together and we were having meetings all the time just trying to figure out how are we going to do church online, how are we going to make this happen. And I remember Pastor one day was like, guys, everybody in the parking lot right now, we're going to have a race. And in my mind, I was like, I'm 29, man, I can do this. Like, I'm at least coming third place. I was one of the last people, y'all. Like, I think Pastor almost beat me, and I was like, I ain't going to let that happen. So I've slowed down over the years. My hair has started to go back. Like, I promise you, I used to have hair right there. I really did. And so I'm working through a lot. I'm just accepting it right now. And so, I to help me through that, if you want to send a Starbucks gift card or anything, like physical, digital, I take it, and it'll help me. But anyway, no, guys, super excited to be talking to you tonight on the Holy Spirit, the gifts, and how they operate in and through our life. And what's exciting is, just like this says, not only do they operate in our life, but God uses them through our life to minister to other people as well. And so one thing I want to remind you of, and I'm sure that you know this, but it's good to hear it, is, you know, as we go through journeying from week 1 all the way up to week 10, and with only 2 weeks left, that's every single week you're getting a ton of knowledge, a ton of information, growing in God's Word. But God's Word tells us not to just be hearers of the Word, but to be, that's right, to be doers of the Word. And so we want to make sure that as we go week in and week out and we continue to take this knowledge, that we wouldn't go all 12 weeks and not do anything with that, but we would take it and put our faith into action. Amen, everybody? And so this week, this teaching is going to start to turn the focus from what God is doing and saying to us, and it's going to turn it into what is he asking of us as a result of our faith. And so we're going to jump in tonight. If you'll grab your pen, you can grab your Bible if you want to, digital, physical Bible, and we're going to go ahead and jump in down here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 31 is the passage that we're referencing tonight. Also, chapter 14, it jumps back and forth. And 1 Corinthians is written by the Apostle Paul, and we're looking at the beginning of this chapter. An elder is writing to Paul, and he's saying, Paul, we got some questions on spiritual gifts. We got some funky stuff that's going on in the Corinthian church. And if you've read this passage before, you'll know there was a lot of, you ever heard of church splits? That's kind of what was going on here in this chapter. There's some just, we're going to get into it in a second, talk about spiritual gifts. But basically, everybody was kind of doing their own thing, and it was kind of causing some division and some splits in the Corinthian church. And so Paul begins to address that. And so we're going to go down here to fast facts on the gifts of the Spirit. We're going to talk through some of these. So number one, says every Christian has at least one gift. Everybody say one. One gift. That means that every person in this room tonight, you have at least one gift on the inside of you. And maybe there's somebody in this room tonight and you say, no, not me. It's not me. I promise you, if I were to get with some of the closest people that know you and say, hey, what's Jim gifted in? What's Jason gifted in? I guarantee you somebody would be able to tell me something that you're gifted in. Why is that? Because sometimes people, especially people that we trust and are close to us, they can see things in us that sometimes we don't even see in ourselves. I can remember, for me, coming up when I started feeling the call to ministry, I remember close mentors of mine saying, man, I see something in you. I see something. I think that's a gifting that you could be used by God with. And some of those things that people called out in me are some of the very things that God is using in my life today in ministry. And so I would encourage you tonight, if that would be you and you say, no, that's not me, don't believe that lie, because it is. Everybody in here has something that God has gifted you with, all right? And that's 1 Corinthians 12:7. You can reference that. Number two, not everyone has the same gift or sets of gifts. Not everyone has the same gift or sets of gifts. That's 1 Corinthians 12:12-27. And I took a screenshot here. I've got an NIV study Bible. And I love this part here. It kind of breaks it down in the annotations at the bottom of the page. I'm sorry? Is it a different wording? So not everyone has the same gift or sets of gifts. And then in the annotation here that I took down, this is really cool. I love these. Does anybody else have a study Bible where it's got the annotations at the bottom? I love it because it just kind of helps you to understand and breaks it down even more. But it says here, there are many gifts. People have different gifts. Some people have more than one gift, and one gift is not superior to another. Remember that line there. One gift is not superior to another. All spiritual gifts come from the Holy Spirit, and their purpose is to build up Christ's body and the church. So the whole reason that the Holy Spirit has given us gifts is to edify the body of Christ. It's to thrust the body of Christ forward. Number four, the gifts I'm given are permanent. Romans 11:29, for the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. That means there's no return policy, people. You can't reverse it. It is what it is. When God has marked you and he's called you, it's in you. It's in your DNA. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to just in my life that they're called by God. You see them. You can see the physical, like the giftings in them. It's just, you can't deny it. But something over the course of their life happened, whether it be fear, whether it be a bad ministry situation that happened that just really burned them, and they just made the decision, you know what, this isn't for me. When all along God's saying, no, this is for you. This is what I've called you to do. This is the specific gifting that I've placed in your life. And maybe you know somebody like that that's went, they just go and do a completely different occupation that they don't even really like. They go do it, and they try to run from the call of God. They try to run from the giftings that he's given them. And I can remember people telling me, I have trouble resting at night. I have trouble because my mind is just racing, because it's just that, it's that Holy Spirit. It's just speaking to him saying, no, 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 come back, come back. And some people choose to run from it. The gifts that God has given us are permanent. Number five, it says, I'm responsible to develop the gifts that God gives me. I am responsible to develop the gifts that God gives me. It's not Carter's responsibility to develop my gift. It's not anybody else in this room's responsibility to develop your gift. We have to put the work in. We have to put the effort in to develop that gift. And whatever that gift looks like, you may say, well, how do I develop that gift? Well, whatever gift that is, I would encourage you, look for somebody that, again, that you trust, somebody that may have a similar gifting to you that you could maybe shadow, maybe mentor, maybe spend time with them and just learn from them. Watch them. Ask them questions. Why did you do it that way? Why did you phrase it that way? Those are easy things that you can do to help develop the gifts that God gives you. Number six is, it's a sin to waste the gifts God has given me. It's a sin to waste the gifts that God has given me. Matthew 25 references the parable of the talents, and this story in a nutshell is basically saying that it's a story that says the necessity of using well what God has entrusted to us, that what God gives to us, that we don't just sit it on a shelf, if you will, and just, yeah, I'm not going to utilize that to the best of my ability. I'm just going to maybe take the easy route, or just, I don't think it's for me. What a shame it would be for us to waste the free gift that is given to us by the Holy Spirit. But may we be people that really do invest and develop and put the time and energy into what God has given us, that we may see that full potential that he has for us. Amen, everybody. Number seven, using my gifts glorifies God. It helps others, and it causes me to grow. And I know on here it's got glorifies underlined and grow underlined, but I underlined three different things. Glorifies God is one of them, helps others is another, and then causes me to grow. And I could not help but think, as I read number seven, of all the different dream team spots in our church that are available for people to serve, for giftings to be utilized. And I immediately thought from the parking lot, from the people driving golf carts, people may say to themselves, how does that even do anything for anybody? Pastor Jeremy says all the time, the altar call starts in the parking lot. And what it is, everybody, it's a smile. It's joy being exuded from these people. Just a smile. It's amazing what a smile will do, even with a mask on. You can tell somebody's smiling, even with a mask on. And just setting the temperature. You know, one of our culture codes is being thermostats, not thermometers. And from the parking lot, setting that thermostat of what is this experience going to be like for these people? I think of the worship team. As the worship pastor, I have the unique honor to be on that stage every single Sunday, not having a clue of what some of the people that are coming into that auditorium are facing, what they're walking through, what diagnosis they just received, what divorce papers they may have just been served. Like, you just don't know what people are walking through, and really viewing it through the lens of, it's a get to, not a got to. It's an honor to get to serve. I think of door greeters, the same thing. They're coming out of the parking lot. You're meeting them right there, and they're smiling. They're shaking hands. They're waving, high-fiving, so glad you're here today. And it's just, it's kindness. It's being Jesus to people. That's the honor that we get, everybody. He glorifies God, number one. We're helping others, and we're growing ourselves. Number eight, God gives us specific guidelines, or guardrails, that must be followed when using the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This particular passage is pretty long, so I'm going to encourage you in your own time to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 26 through 40. And basically what this is talking about is orderly worship and how it should be conducted. If you'll go to the next page here, ministry gifts. These particular ministry gifts are for the church. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 and 12 lists the five ministry offices that Christ has given to the church, starting with the first one, which is apostle, just like the Apostle Paul, sent to begin new churches or ministries. The second one is a prophet, brings a specific word or a message to someone and or the church concerning coming events. The third is the evangelist. Some of you may have heard of youth evangelists, different evangelist people. I remember back in the day, we'd have evangelists come in our home church all the time, just on fire for God. Has a strong emphasis on bringing the gospel to the unsaved. Pastor, sent to shepherd and care for a flock to lead a body of local believers. And teacher, gifted to teach and explain and expound on God's word. Now this next portion here is entitled how to use and how not to use spiritual gifts. And I want to say to you tonight, I would think in a room this size, and I could be wrong, but maybe you're here tonight and maybe you've read ahead on this and you've seen what we're going to talk about tonight and you saw tongues and interpretation of tongues and prophecy and you went, that's not my thing. Like, that makes me nervous. Maybe you had a bad experience at a church. And I don't know any other way to describe it, but maybe you were in a situation at a church and it was just cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. I mean, it was just weird. Anybody ever experienced anything like that before? I have. I've been a part of places before where I'm just like, get me out of here. This is weird. I want you to know tonight, you can take a deep breath and exhale. This is not one of those churches. Amen, everybody. Come on, leaders. This is not one of those churches, I promise you. I promise you. I just want to apologize to you because there's a lot of stuff that goes on that it's weird. And I want you to know tonight, God's word is not weird. It's the greatest book ever written in the history of mankind, and it's the greatest story ever told. And we believe his word. Here at Timber Creek, we say that God's word is the moral compass for our life. His word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. It's truth. You can take it to the bank. Whatever God said, it's truth. Amen, everybody? So rest easy tonight. We're going to talk through this. These are gifts that the Holy Spirit is making available to us. Starting with utterance gifts, tongues. What is that? It's a public tongue to be interpreted. 1 Corinthians 14, 27. How is it to be used in a group or congregation? Always with an interpretation. How it's not to be used in a group or congregation without an interpretation. Why is that? Why is an interpretation so important? Because it brings confusion. You know, I mentioned at the very beginning the Corinthian church. They've got all this chaos. They've got people speaking in tongues. They've got people talking, doing all this and that. Everybody's trying to share their gift at the same time, and it's confusion. Imagine being in a church service where there's multiple people trying to speak in tongues or give an interpretation. I mean, it's just mass chaos. So the reason we want that interpretation is to limit that confusion and to bring order. The second one is interpretation of tongues. What is that, you may ask? It's an interpretation of a public tongue. How it's used after a public tongue is given and needs to be audible to the audience. It is a witness to the unbeliever, but only when interpreted. How it's not to be used as a soapbox or opportunity to express one's opinion or viewpoints to those in the audience. This is a holy thing, everybody. This is God speaking through someone in a heavenly language, and somebody else is interpreting based on what they in that moment feel that God is speaking to them to share with the congregation what he's trying to say in that moment. It's definitely not a moment for somebody to, and I've been in services like that before where people have stood up and you immediately know that ain't what Jesus is saying. Like, I ain't a prophet, but that's not what Jesus is saying. So we want to make sure that in those moments, I think I've had one moment in my life where I interpreted a message that was given in tongues, and I'll never forget it. I was in a small group setting. And if you've ever done that before, my heart was about to pound out of my chest. I remember it just like it was yesterday. And it was a very intimate worship moment, and the message was given. And I just knew in my heart, I can't describe it to you any other way than I just knew. I felt it on the inside, like, God's given you this word, speak it out. And I spoke it. And it was just this moment of, I felt encouraged because I felt like, man, I really had faith in that moment to step out and do that, because it was a nerve-wracking thing for me. But I believe through that obedience that God was able to speak to somebody in that moment. So I would encourage you, if there ever be a moment where you're in an environment like that and you feel that maybe the Lord is speaking to you and you're sure of it. I'm telling you, when you know in those moments when God is speaking to you, I want to maybe just free you from the thought of this. You don't have to have a title behind your name for God to use you in that. You don't have to have a title in your name for God to use you on any of these giftings. All right, everybody. Sometimes there can be this misunderstanding that I've got to be a pastor, and there's nothing wrong with that. I went to school for that. I studied it. But just know tonight, you can work a regular 9-to-5 job and God can use you in any of these giftings. All right. The next one is prophecy, a word from God for edification, exhortation, correction, and comfort. How it's used is to strengthen, to encourage and correct and comfort others, to edify or build up the church. Again, we're all about edifying and building up the church. It's not about the spotlight on me. Let me share what God's given me, but it's more of let me humbly just what I believe God has given to me. Let me share this, and I'm going to step out of the way and give the glory to God. How it's not to be used is to humiliate or embarrass others by exposing their weaknesses, shortcomings, or sins, not to criticize or judge. Those are the utterance gifts. Now we're going to shift down to the revelation gifts. The first one being word of wisdom. A word of wisdom is God-given wisdom for certain situations, solves a problem or gives an answer to solution. How it's meant to be used is to give direction and guidance. How it's not meant to be used is to take God's credit and get puffed up thinking you have all the answers. Has anybody in the room ever had a word of wisdom given to you? Anybody? I know I have. I know that I remember moments, strategic moments in my life of just, I found myself in situations where I just, in my own mind, in my own ability to conjure up thoughts, answers, what I needed, I couldn't do it. Like it was kind of that I'm up against the wall feeling. And I remember praying to the Lord and asking him, God, I need you to give me wisdom beyond my years right now because I don't know what to do in this situation. And I promise you, every single time, he always worked it out. Every single time. And I promise you, he will always work it out for your good, everybody. It may not be what you think it should be. It may not look like it should look. It may not sound like you think it should sound. But I promise you, Jesus loves you and he has your best interests at heart. If you flip to the next page here, word of knowledge, God-given knowledge that wouldn't have otherwise, just knowledge or information. How it's used to show or remind the person that God sees them, hears them, and knows everything about their life and situation. How it's not meant to be used as a mind reader, thinking you're supposed to know everything about everyone, not used to expose or embarrass someone in front of others. I want to share with you just briefly, and I know I use a lot of personal illustrations just because that's the easiest thing to do if you're ever speaking. Just talk about personal experiences you've had. It's easy because you know them. But for me, I will never forget. I was called into the ministry when I was, I would say, 10 years old. I'll never forget it. I started out playing drums for my church. And for many years, everybody knew me as the little drummer boy. I even had an email address. It wasn't little, it was Lil, like a rapper, Lil Drummer Boy, 2190. And I remember as a young kid, I loved playing the drums. I loved doing that. I knew that I was called to do music. My dad told me, my grandparents told me when I was younger, I would beat on pots and pans. Like, I was just that kid. I was playing on everything. I had a guitar. I sang Billy Ray Cyrus's Don't Break My Heart, My Achy Breaky Heart. Like, I threw down on that song, y'all. I was in my tidy whities, and I was rocking it as like a three-year-old. And I remember so vividly, you know, growing up, my parents divorced when I was 12 years old, and I remember having to walk through probably one of the most difficult seasons of my life, because as a 12-year-old, you know, that's a pretty pivotal year, and I just remember asking, like, why, God? As a 12-year-old, why? I remember hearing my parents fight. I remember laying in my bed, crying myself to sleep, not understanding, knowing that God wanted to use me and had a call in my life, but I didn't know anything further than that. I just knew the pain that I was feeling, and I knew the questions I had. And thank God, I used to think for so long that I never had a testimony because I never drank or I never did drugs or anything like that, but I'll never forget one of my youth pastors, who was like a mentor to me, told me, he said, no, your testimony is that God kept you. He kept you in the midst of the brokenness in your family and that season of life that you walked through. He kept you. That is your testimony. And it completely changed my mindset. And from then on, I just began to thank the Lord. Thank you for protecting me. Because I watched friends of mine that parents divorced, and they went off the deep end just doing crazy things, getting involved with the wrong crowd and doing stuff that they would later regret. But thanks be to God, he surrounded me with people in my youth group and leaders that saw something in me. They believed in me. They challenged me. They pushed me. And it's made me who I am today. And I say all of that because when I was 17 years old, I was in a church service, and we had an evangelist come. And I was playing drums still, and by 17, I had got to a place where I knew I was called to lead worship, and I was still learning how to sing and play piano. And it was always a dream of mine to lead worship in big church. That's what I called it, big church. And I always helped with the youth band. It was absolutely horrible. Our youth band was absolutely horrible. Listen, y'all, our youth band now at Timber Creek, it like would run circles around the youth band I was in. And I remember just being in that service, playing drums, feeling frustrated because I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I'm tired of playing the drums. I'm tired of being known as the drum guy. Like, I want to venture out from this. And I'll never forget, this evangelist looked over at the drum cage and he said, can you get that young boy out of the drum cage and bring him over here? And this was an altar call moment. So everybody's up at the front, they're down here at the altar. And I walked over, so caught off guard, walked over, and I stood right in the center. And he looked down at me, and he pointed his hand at me, and he began to give me a word of knowledge. And I'm telling you, I'm going to do my best not to cry, because to this day I remember, I still have it on recording, everybody. He pointed directly at me, and he said, there's a well on the inside of you, and it's been stopped up, and it's been stopped up too long. And he said, God wants to, he wants to flow through you, through music. He wants to use you. The anointing of David's going to rest upon you. I mean, he just began to speak over me. And I remember dropping to my knees in that moment. And tears are streaming down my face. And it was just like this moment where God just marked me and said, this is what you're going to do. And he used a guy that I never knew from Kentucky. Never met this guy in my life. And he begins to speak to me and say things to me that nobody else would know. Things like, I know when you put your head on your pillow at night, I know the thoughts that you're thinking of unworthiness and all these things. I mean, he's reading my mail, and I'm just on my knees weeping before the Lord. And I remember just going down, and I'm just laying in a posture, just my face in the carpet, and I'm crying. And I laid there for about 45 minutes. And that was a night for me that God marked me, and he used that word of knowledge to confirm even more, this is what I've called you to do. Don't waver from that. Don't run from that. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy that would try to tell you you're not good enough. You don't have what it takes. I mean, this guy began to tell me about things I was going to do in college, where I was going to go. I mean, it was to the T. God used him in that way to speak to me and to say, this is what I've called you to. And it was a powerful moment for me. And I just want to say to you tonight, I don't know, I just feel prompted as I shared that. God sees you where you are, everybody. I didn't think he saw me. I didn't think he understood what I was feeling. Nights when I would cry myself to sleep and I would say, are you there? Are you really in control? Do you really see me? He saw me the whole time. And I want you to know tonight that he sees you right where you are. I don't know what you're facing. Don't know what you're walking through right now. Your life may be like on the mountaintop, or you may feel like you're in the lowest valley tonight. I want you to know this moment, I believe Jesus just stopped me to tell you that he loves you and he sees you tonight. All right, everybody? The next one here is discerning of spirits. Ability to see into the spirit realm or feel and discern various powers and principalities at work in a person or situation. How it's used is to differentiate between and seems to be what truly is operating in, through, and around someone or some place so that the enemy's workings and plans can be dealt with and or broken. How it's not, to make you look for the bad in everyone or believe that there's a devil behind every bush and corner, not used to scare or intimidate others. Can I tell you one of the most discerning people I've ever met in my life? It's my wife. Guys, I'm telling you right now, my wife has the gift of discernment, and I've seen it so many times. I can remember times where she would say, I'm just telling you, I got a bad feeling about that situation or that person. And 99.9% of the time, every single time, something happened. And so I've just said, you know what, that's a spiritual gift that you have, and I'm going to listen to you going forward. So discerning of spirits. I remember Pastor Jeremy talking one Sunday about, you know, there's not a demon in the blender all the time, everybody. Sometimes the cord's just got to shorten it, okay? Like, it's just, but listen, we can joke about it, but also there's truth to this. There's a discerning of spirits. We got to make sure that we understand the enemy, he's not playing around, okay, everybody? He's out to steal, kill, and destroy, and he's going to do whatever he can to stop God's work and church from moving forward. And so we want to pray and ask the Lord to help us. Hey, God, give us that discernment that we have on the inside of us to know that when we come upon a situation or we're dealing with a certain person, that you would help us to be able to sense those things out through the Holy Spirit when things aren't like they should be. And I promise you, he'll do it. Next one, and lastly, we're going to switch to power gifts. John chapter 5, 19, and chapter 12, 49 and 50 is what we're referencing here. First one is faith. Everybody say faith. God-given supernatural faith for something. Now, I wanted to write this because I didn't know by this time in the teaching if things were going to be pretty tight and nobody was laughing, and so I had to have a moment where we just broke it a little bit and had some laughter. So I looked up on the internet, what are the top three things that people need faith for? The number one is flying in an airplane. And a couple of years ago, I was talking to my grandma, and I said, hey, why don't you fly out to see the kiddos? They're getting older, you know. And she said, yeah, that's not going to happen. And I said, why? She said, I'm not getting on no airplane. I said, you know, statistically, it's safer to fly than it is to drive. She said, I'm getting my car. I'll be fine. I got Jesus. I said, okay. What about this scenario? Let's say that I was in a life-threatening situation, and I was going to, like, it was going to be the end for me unless you flew to me. And she said, she patted me on the shoulder, and she said, I'll see you in heaven. Okay. All right, Grandma. That's the best I got. So the second one was buying a used car. Anybody ever bought a used car in here? It takes faith to buy a used car. In Jesus' name, let the motorized windows work the next week. And then thirdly, it takes faith to be a Cowboys fan. That's my favorite one, everybody. I know. I didn't know how that was going to go, but some of you are probably just like, stick to singing, buddy, stick to singing. Faith, God-given supernatural faith for something. How it's supposed to be used to find the will of the Father and agree with him for his will to be done in that life or situation. How it's not is to force God's hand and believe things into existence that are not his will. Working of miracles is our next one. Supernatural happening is what this is. How it's to be used is to believe and ask God for something truly miraculous to happen in a life or situation. How it's not to be used is to act as a magician. This gift, like the others, is to be led by the Spirit and used as he sees fit. I was talking with my father-in-law today and was just saying, hey, I'm going to be teaching tonight in a Grow Track class, and here's what I'm teaching on. And he's like, well, share some of the notes with me. And so I began to share, and he goes, man, I got a cool story that you could share on the working of miracles. And I was like, okay, well, tell me. And he goes, I don't know if you know this or not, but my dad, my great great-grandfather-in-law, I think is how you say it. He's been a pastor all his life, and he was pastoring at a small church in Wisconsin in the 1950s. And my father-in-law said, he told me there was a story one time where they had a revival, and there was a little girl about 8 years old. She came in a wheelchair, and he said she sat in the back, and he said my dad was up there teaching, and just, I mean, he was just one of those, like, just throwing it down, preaching. I mean, like, preaching the wood off the pulpit. And he said, in a moment, he said, the Lord spoke to my dad, and he told him to stop and to walk down to the girl that was in the wheelchair and ask her, do you believe that God can heal you? And he said, in the moment that the Lord spoke to him, he had like a millisecond to decide, am I gonna listen to that voice that I believe is the Lord speaking to me right now? I'm gonna let fear overcome me and not do it. And he said, my dad told me, he said, you know, I believe I'm a faith-filled person. I mean, I'm a pastor, like, I've got faith. But in my mind, I doubted, like, I don't know if I got that much faith. He said, but without even thinking, within that millisecond, he made the decision, and he walked down to the girl in the wheelchair. And he said, he knelt down on the floor, and he said, do you believe that Jesus can heal you right now? And she said, yes. And he said, he put a hand on her shoulder, and she jumped up out of the wheelchair. And you hear those kind of things, and sometimes in today's culture, like, we could be like, nah, I don't believe all that. I believe it 100%. The Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changed. He's the same God that he was in the Bible. He's the same God today. He's the same miracle-working God. And I was on the phone with him, and he said, I just couldn't get over that story. And it made me go, man, I want my faith to be increased. I want my faith. If my dad could see that, man, I want to see something like that. And so I thought that was a really cool story, just a reminder that God is still a miracle-working God, and the same God that was working miracles in the 50s is the same God that's still working them in 2020. Amen, everybody? And then the last one here is gifts of healing, God's sovereign power operating through you to heal. How it's used to pray for everyone who is sick to be healed. How it is not to make people feel sinful or unspiritual for being sick. Remember, he is healer, not you. John 9:2-3. And a lot of these, as I said earlier, a lot of these, you can go back and reference these scriptures. And I would encourage you, if you look down here at the bottom, it says the next step is to complete the spiritual gift assessment. Learn more about taking next steps through Next Steps Ministry. I would say tonight, Taylor, if it's okay with you, I think we can go ahead and take that test. We've got a little bit of extra time than what we thought. So what we'll do, Mr. Tommy, if you can go ahead and just kind of cue some soft worship music up. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray for you guys. You can just bring the volume down just a little bit. I'm going to pray for you guys really quick. I want to say again, Taylor, thanks for the opportunity to be here tonight. And, man, I just want to commend you guys for being faithful each and every week. You know, every morning you get up, you make a decision. You make a decision on what you're going to wear. You make a decision on what kind of coffee you're going to get. But you make a decision every single week to come here on Wednesday night for 10 weeks in a row now. And I just want to commend you and say, great job. Stay consistent. Keep leaning into what God is speaking to you and what he's speaking through this class. Because I promise you, as you've already probably seen in 10 weeks, you've probably noticed, your spouse has probably noticed a difference in you. You probably noticed a difference in your spouse. And you may have noticed a difference just in the way you interact with people. We're gaining knowledge in God's word. We're growing closer to him. And as we grow closer to him, we're going to be more like him. Amen, everybody. So I want to pray with you tonight, and then I want to give you some time to fill that assessment out. And again, just as I mentioned in the beginning, if you're here tonight and you're just struggling with, man, I don't know what my gift is, and I just don't see that being something for me. Again, I want to remind you that that's a lie from the enemy. God has uniquely designed every single person in this room. The Bible says that he knit you together in your mother's womb. He knows the number of hairs on your head. That's how detailed of a God we serve. And he's with us in this room tonight. And I believe through this assessment that he's going to speak to you. And I love that we have tables and table hosts and that group atmosphere that you can talk with one another. It's good to be able to talk and just, man, I'm struggling tonight. Because you know what's going to happen? The other people are going to, they're going to begin to encourage you and say, well, let me tell you what I see in you. Here's what I see in you. It's just building up. It's edifying. It's building up the body of Christ. So, again, everybody, thank you for letting me share with you tonight. And let me pray for you. Jesus, thank you so much for this night. God, thank you for the opportunity to get to get to speak to these men and women tonight on the gifts from the Holy Spirit that are available to us. Lord, we know that you're a good father and you give good gifts to your children. And so, Lord, tonight, I pray that every heart would be just open to receive those gifts. Lord, whatever that is, you created us, God. You created the very DNA in our body. You know what's best for us. We don't get a chance to choose what gifts we get, but you choose them for us because you know what's best for us. You know which gifts are going to be the best and what's going to be the best to, what gifts are going to be the best to be able to use through us to minister to other people. And so, Lord, tonight, I just pray that you would give clarity. You would speak to your people. Lord, as they take this assessment, God, that they would, that their eyes would just be open spiritually. Lord, open their eyes to see, God, what it is that you're gifting them with. And Lord, I pray that they would continue to be diligent in this class, in the classes to come. Lord, may they not grow weary in well-doing, but Lord, may they know that every single day that they dive into your word, every single day that they study these notes and look back at it, God, that they're growing closer to you. And Lord, I just pray tonight as they go home, Lord, that your presence would go with them. Lord, there would be a peace in their homes tonight. God, help them to rest well. Help them to have a great rest of their week. Lord, may they be reminded tonight that you're still on the throne regardless of what happens the rest of this week. We love you for it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen everybody. You can take that assessment. We'll play some music softly, and then we'll dismiss you.
Let's hear it. The loudest shout you've got in you. Give it to us. Here, working in this place,
His name is above. His name is above depression. His name is above loneliness. Oh, his name is above disease. His name is above cancer. His name is above every other name. Sanctuary, my upper room, so I linger here with you. Push through the fear of silence till time has been removed. You are my sanctuary, my upper room. So I linger here with you. My dwelling place where I am safe, my refuge from the
Check, check. Hey guys, man, what an awesome night. I don't know if he's still in here or not, but y'all just give Pastor Cody a hand. He did an awesome job tonight talking to us about the gifts of the Spirit. I know it gave me some insight. It was really cool to be able to take that test again and just see where the Lord's taking me personally. I thought it was really, really great. But hey, speaking of those spiritual inventory tests, if you just took them, if you finished it, great. Take those home with you and hold on to them and bring them back next week. And if you didn't finish, that's totally fine too. Just take them home, finish them up really quick, and then bring them back next week for your table host. And we have 2 more weeks of this, guys. We have 2 more weeks of GrowTrack, and the semester will be done. Let's come back excited next week. Let's come back and finish strong, because I believe that the Lord wants to do something great in every single one of your lives this next 2 weeks. I want to pray us out, and then you guys will be dismissed. So if you all just bow your heads with me. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you so much for who you are and for what you've done and what you're doing in this place tonight, God. I thank you that you give us so graciously these gifts of the Spirit that we can use, God, on an everyday basis to edify the body of Christ and to push the body of Christ forward, Jesus. Lord, help us to know how to use them properly, God. Teach us your ways, oh God. Help us to Help us to be able to discern when to use them, God, and when to hold back, Father. But God, most of all, I pray that your will be done through it, Father. We love you and we thank you for everything that you've done in our lives, God. Thank you for everything that you're going to continue to do, Father. Bless this nation right now in this time, Father. I pray that your hand will just be upon this country, Father. We love you and we thank you for everything that you do. In your name I pray. Amen. Hey, you guys are dismissed. Have a great night.
My soul undeserving. Oh God, your soul.